Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I was a witch.
I mean, wait a minute.
That's exactly why.
How are you to be a witch?
Because I dabbled into witchcraft. I hung around people who were doing these things.
Not that there's anything wrong with the religion of Wiccan. We should say that up front. But when you're running as a religious right Tea Party U.S. Senate candidate from Delaware, and a tape like that surfaces from the Bill Maher Politically Incorrect show from 1999, a candidate like Christine O'Donnell might have a little explaining to do. So let's begin there. And with Mayor Bloomberg's new fundraiser for Harry Reid today, or New York fundraiser, I should say, Christine O'Donnell and a date with a witch, Mayor Mike and a date with Harry Reid. We'll unpack these possibly strange bedfellows and more now with Susan Page, USA Today's D.C. Bureau Chief, and Amy Walter, ABC News Political Director. Hi, Amy. Hi, Susan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian.
So, Susan, when Carl Paladino and Christine O'Donnell won their Republican primaries last week, it was more evidence that the Tea Party movement is producing unelectable, probably fringy nominees. But you have a piece today in USA Today about Marco Rubio beginning to pull away in the Senate race in Florida. Is there now a sort of good Tea Party and bad Tea Party from a political sense emerging in the Republican Party or something like that from a, you know, victory standpoint?
You know, all Tea Party candidates are not created equal. You know, it's hard to imagine Christine O'Donnell winning most any election, but I was down in Florida for a couple days last week. We thought that Senate seat was Charlie Crist to have, but he got pushed out of the Republican Party. And initially there was some thought that Charlie Crist, who's a popular moderate governor, might be able to run as an independent. But I tell you, Marco Rubio now has a double-digit lead in the last four polls taken in the state of Florida. He seems to be pulling away. He's coming across as a conservative, but not as a crazy. And I would say you see similar things happening in Colorado, where Ken Buck, definitely a Tea Party candidate, is doing pretty well against Michael Bennett, the incumbent appointed senator there, although that race is closer. And Rand Paul, who has said some things that have been pretty controversial, seems a little fringy, is in fact got a lead building in Kentucky. So some of these Tea Party candidates are going to lose, but I'll tell you, some of them are going to win.
Here's a longer bite from that Bill Maher show for people who haven't heard this yet. Christine O'Donnell in 1999.
You were a witch.
I dabbled into witchcraft. I never joined a coven.
Wait
but
a minute.
I did.
You were
I
a
did.
Witch?
Yeah, she was.
I was a witch.
I mean, wait a minute.
That's exactly why.
How are you to be a witch?
Because I dabbled into witchcraft. I hung around people who were doing these things.
Having fun?
I'm not making this stuff up. I know what they told me they do.
Well, what did they do?
I mean, and one of my dates, one of my first dates with the witch was on a satanic altar, and I didn't know it. And, I mean, there's little blood there and stuff like that.
That was a date? Your first date was a satanic altar?
Yeah, we went to a movie and then, like, had a little midnight picnic.
Let's have a movie and a sacrifice?
So, okay, I know what you're thinking. Everybody thinking, aha, so what? Who cares? But here is the beginning of Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace yesterday.
This is not the program we were planning to bring you. Christine O'Donnell, the surprise winner of the Republican Senate primary in Delaware, agreed to come here live in Washington today to take our questions. However, late Friday night, her campaign canceled, saying O'Donnell was exhausted and had to return to Delaware. Saturday morning, O'Donnell called me and said this: I got triple booked. I had been invited to go to church and then a picnic. I have to keep my priorities to Delaware voters. So we begin today with someone who has been critical of O'Donnell, master Republican strategist Karl Rove.
So Christine O'Donnell may have some explaining to do, but she decided not to do it, even in the relatively friendly confines of a Fox News interview. So Amy Walter, even Karl Rove, as Chris Wallace mentioned there, said the Democrats just held the Senate when the Delaware Republicans nominated O'Donnell over the well-respected moderate Mike Castle. How is this dividing the Republican Party? And basically the same question that Susan was answering about, you know, the Tea Party's growing pains from the fringe to the center of conservatism.
That's right. You know, we can't make half this stuff up, right? And this is what's fantastic about covering politics is these are the sorts of stories that you know, even in my wildest dreams, I couldn't have imagined hitting the front page of the papers. I don't think we've ever had somebody dabbling in witchcraft as a Senate candidate before.
Bob Schieffer said that, I think, on Face the Nation yesterday, too, that in all the years he's been covering politics, he doesn't think the issue of Wiccan ever actually came up in a Senate race before.
It didn't, and masturbation neither. So anyway.
What was that? Wait, now you have to tell us, what was the context for that, if I might?
That was in 1996. MTV was doing a program, you know, on sort of young people and their views on sexuality, and she was part of a group that felt very strongly that that was against the biblical teachings to engage in masturbation. So, anyway, that's also made its rounds. Yeah. There's nothing that the media loves than being able to say that and not get in trouble for it, because it's part of a campaign.
Right.
But Susan raises a very good point, and it's something that I've been talking about a while, and I think a lot of folks have as well, which is the problem with categorizing the Tea Party as a movement is the fact that it is not an actual party. It doesn't have discernible leaders. I mean, there are people who are self-appointed leaders, but there's not just you don't have an elected group of people with a platform and agenda where we can point to these folks as true Tea Party candidates. What smart candidates have done, and Marco Rubio is a perfect example of this, have molded themselves into outsiders and Tea Party candidates to sort of appeal to the mood out there, the anti-incumbent, anti-establishment mood, even though Rubio's case is a prime example of this. They are not outsiders. I mean, Marco Rubio was the Speaker of the House. He's not exactly somebody who sort of came from the grassroots. And Sharon Engel as well, certainly not liked by the establishment, but it's noticeable that in these last few weeks now, she's gotten a tremendous amount of support from the Republican establishment. She was quoted the other day in the Washington Post after this O'Donnell Rove rift became apparent, saying, well, you know, Karl Rove's a friend of mine. He's done very good by me.
Even though she has said things like Social Security should be phased out.
Yeah. See, so here's the question. It really comes down to this, which is, however these Tea Party candidates got to where they got, and some of them got there despite the fact the establishment was not supporting them, they are now going to be getting a tremendous amount of help from the sort of old hands, the Karl Rove and other folks who are running, or traditional donors who are bankrolling these outside third-party groups that are going to be running ads that will ultimately support those candidates. Now, I think it's a very interesting strategy, because I'll be curious to see what happens to these candidates if and when, and Susan's right, some of them are coming to Washington, if and when they come to Washington, will they be as anti-establishment as they campaigned, given the fact that they've gotten a lot of help from the leadership, the Republican leadership, and from traditional donors.
By the way, I do want to say something about Wiccan here in all seriousness, just that it's a religion that people practice with sincerity and earnestness. It's not, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West, which is probably the only thing that a lot of people know about witchcraft, but Wiccan observers, Wiccan practitioners deserve the same respect. If she said she practiced Islam, we would be defending her religious freedom and all of that. And I just want to say that Wiccan, in and of itself, deserves the same respect. It's just O'Donnell's otherwise religious right views and her whole package that makes it even relevant to the discussion. But let's take, I think, a self-identified Tea Party caller from Jamaica, Queens. Alex, turn down your radio and you're on the air.
Hello, Brian. My whole point was that I think people, especially in New York City, are misunderstanding the Tea Party and misunderstanding the candidates. And I think that they seem to be the only people whom a large percentage of the population really believes either has their best interests in mind or, at the very least, doesn't have more worse things set up for them. I mean, I really do think this is from the grassroots, and these people, these representatives, these candidates are, representative of the people of the United States right now.
Well, representative of the people of the United States, some of the people to some degree, but when you get O'Donnell with some of the things that she said, when you get Carl Palladino with some of the things that he said, when you get the other U.S. Senate candidate in Colorado, or as a gubernatorial candidate, who said that a bicycle share program is a threat to American freedom, or Rand Paul, who said that the civil rights law of 1964, part of it should be repealed so that employers could discriminate against black people. Is that where you want to be? Is that the mood of the people? Is that, can you just so easily say, well, this is the will of the people today?
Well, you know, let's put it this way. If they win the election, then it is the will of the people. And if they don't, then it's not. Yes. I mean, in about 40 days, we'll have a really good answer. Thank you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Call again, Alex. As we continue with Amy Walter, ABC News political director, and Susan Page, USA Today's D.C. bureau chief, talking some politics here. By the way, we have our new politics webpage where we have this and a lot more. It's freecountry.org. It's freecountry.org. And on the other side of the political spectrum, President Obama on Friday appointed the very sincere consumer advocate Elizabeth Warren to create the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as authorized in the new bank reform law. Here is a clip of Warren on ABC World News Tonight with Diane Sawyer on Friday.
The first thing I'm going to promise is that I'm going to be a voice in the room on behalf of middle-class families. And if that means I'm going to be loud or unwelcome at any point, so be it.
Those who are afraid of your arrival, for instance, Assistant Treasury Secretary in the Bush administration, who said that cracking down on Wall Street means some people won't get a loan, their jobs won't be created, cars that won't be sold.
Can we just reframe what that seems to be saying? If he's really saying if we can't trick them, we won't lend money to them, surely that's not what he means. But that's sure what that statement seems to suggest.
So, Amy Walter, ABC News political director, that was your network's interview. Talk about the substance and the politics of appointing Elizabeth Warren.
Well, certainly from a substance point of view, it seems that what the White House is trying to do is to put somebody in the administration who does have a background in consumer protection, who's going to be able to take a lot of the rhetoric that the White House and other Democrats have been putting forward about making sure that consumers are able to see the benefits of the financial reform regulation, and that it gets, you know, it's more than just talk, that there's somebody who's actually working this through. The politics are always there, of course. And in this case, as you could hear from that interview, it is another chance where we can see the business community versus the White House and in many cases some other progressive liberal Democrats. The fight really being, you know, whose side are you on? And there are a lot of folks in the business community saying this White House totally out of touch with the issues that make business run, that makes this economy run. One more example of how they're going to basically cut down on our competitiveness, and you know, that's going to be a continuing debate. For most voters, though, I mean, this is an issue that has sort of captivated Washington, but for most voters, I think this stuff just sort of washes over them as just one more example of how Democrats, Republicans cannot agree, cannot work together on addressing the number one issue for them in this country, which is the economy.
By the way, listeners, we have an Elizabeth Warren quiz question on itsafreecountry.org this morning, and a link to that ABC News interview, which has excerpted really well some of Elizabeth Warren's speaking about the middle class. So if you want to see our Elizabeth Warren quiz question and hear some of her interview with Diane Sawyer through the link that we placed to ABC News, go to WNYC. No, go to itsafreecountry.org, our new politics website, itsafreecountry.org. But Susan Page, she sees herself as an advocate for a disappearing middle class.
She's been quite the fierce advocate, and not to forget, she wrote a paper in, I think, 2007 that's the genesis for this new agency. But there is a fair amount of criticism, not just from Republicans, but even from some of the president's allies and supporters of this new agency, that the White House really engaged in a trick to get her to be able to shape the agency's early days. They're not appointing her as a director. They didn't even choose to make an appointment when Congress was out, which they could have done, and she could have served for some period of time, not for the full five-year term. Instead, they installed her at the Treasury Department and as assistant to the president and put off the question of appointing a director.
In other words, they're avoiding a public Senate confirmation battle by installing her in this position above the position.
That's right. But they also chose not only not to appoint her, but not to make it a recess appointment, which would have put her in the director's job for a while until the next Congress.
But you know what I'm curious about? And by the way, listeners, we have President Jimmy Carter next in about 5 minutes. But she makes the case, I think, better than Obama, better than almost any other Democratic politician, for the need to to help revive the disappearing middle class.
Mm-hmm, right.
But how much leeway does she have in this job to impact the fate of the middle class? Is it more than just making specific rules on credit card companies and things like that?
Well, in this role, she doesn't have the ability, I don't believe, to actually drop regulations and impose them. She has the ability to put some policies in place at this new agency that are intended to protect consumers from predatory practices and keep an eye out for consumers from this base at the Fed. And she'll have a role perhaps in choosing the first director. But the idea of saving the middle class is not something that a government regulatory agency is going to be able to do.
Yeah.
That involves economic forces far beyond their control.
By the way, from our comments page, HJS writes, Wiccans don't have satanic altars. Satan is not part of Wicca mythology, talking back to Christine O'Donnell. We're going to run out of time soon. We do have President Carter coming up. Amy Walter from ABC News, I want to get to Mayor Bloomberg holding a fundraiser for Harry Reid today in New York. Strange bedfellows at all?
Yes, although this is nothing new for the mayor. He likes to get himself on all sides. But for Harry Reid, it really goes to sort of the heart of his struggle here, which is he does have so much of the so-called establishment behind him. He is the majority leader of the United States Senate. He has delivered, and this is what he keeps talking about when he's back in Nevada. I've delivered for the state. I have a lot of power. These were the things that were really important not that long ago to constituents in terms of a message that would work for re-election. And yet, at a time when voters are so fed up with Washington, that message is just not sticking. So the real question for Harry Reid, of course, is can he raise enough money, obviously Mayor Bloomberg helping here, to be able to make the case not that you need to like me more, but you need to like my opponent, Sharon Engel, less. And he's hoping to be able to pull out a win here by getting less than 50% because disaffected voters are going to end up splitting their vote between Sharon Engel and a none-of-the-above candidate who could get 3%, 4%, or 5%.
So that's the Nevada Senate race. And Susan Page, in a larger Mike Bloomberg sense, what does it look like from where you sit as D.C. bureau chief? He's endorsing a long list of candidates this year who he considers moderate, from Harry Reid running for re-election in Nevada to the Republican running for President Obama's old Senate seat, Kirk in Illinois, to the New York Republican Attorney General candidate, Dan Donovan, to the Democrat who I mentioned before who's running in Colorado against the Republican who says bicycle share programs threaten individual freedom. Is there a political center hungry for something like this?
I think you do see some signs that there's a political middle that's trying to push back some. Lisa Murkowski, the senator from Alaska who got ousted for the nomination by a Tea Party-backed candidate, announced Friday she was going to wage a write-in campaign. That's a sign of that. Charlie Crist candidacy in Florida. The stuff that Mayor Bloomberg is doing, there are some signs that the center is trying to push back. But it's the passion in politics tends to be on the wings. It's hard for a centrist to engender that same kind of passion. Although I got to say, I think Mayor Bloomberg is one of the most interesting figures on the political scene today, and I am very curious about what he will do when he stops being mayor.
Susan Page, USA Today's D.C. Bureau Chief, Amy Walter, ABC News Political Director. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Brian.
And again, we do have that Elizabeth Warren quiz question on our itsafreecountry.org politics website with a link to the Elizabeth Warren, Diane Sawyer interview talking about the middle class. Coming up next, Jimmy Carter, followed by David Simon, Director of The Wire. Stay with us.